Welcome back, everyone. It's midnight again, and welcome to the Film Club. My name is James, and as always, I'm here with my amazing friend Dave. But we're remote this week.
yeah, we're not actually here. We're kind of here.
We're pretty far away this week, mate, because good old Coronione has kind of foiled our plans to meet in person.
Bit, yeah.
Just for a little bit. But yeah, I just wanted to ask, how you doing, man? How's stuff?
I'm doing all right.
All the way over there.
this fucking week just felt like forever. I don't know why, but I was just like, man, I just want to go home. Like, every day this week, I'm just like, I don't want to be here. I want to go home.
Yeah, man.
I don't. But it's funny, because this week, we're like, are we going to record on Wednesday? And we're like, yeah, we'll do it on Wednesday. Wednesday comes around, we're like, you want to record it tomorrow? It's like, yeah, we'll do it tomorrow. It's like, still hadn't watched it until fucking today.
Yeah, well, I was waiting on the microphone because...
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah, if we were going to do this setup, then I kind of wanted the same or similar equipment.
Right, yeah.
But Amazon do this thing where it's like expedited delivery, right?
Oh, like the Amazon Prime delivery service dealy?
The Amazon Prime shit. And so I paid for expedited delivery, which is like next day, you know.
Right,
they said get it by Wednesday, which is the day after the day I ordered it on Monday or Sunday, right?
And yeah.
Then, three of the parcels I ordered a guitar cable for the show, because I need another one, and a MIDI keyboard, and a pop shield for the mic, which was separate.
Right.
The exact same pop shield you have. And
yeah, because it's the cheapest one you can buy.
It's the cheapest one, 900 yen or something.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
So, like, that all came yesterday. And then I'm like, well, where's the mic? And then it's like, I don't know, like there's some rando that just delivers it. It's not Kudo Neko or like JP Post or anything like that. It's just some rando that just comes around and goes, oh, did you order off Amazon? Here it is, right?
So I've seen it, like, it's weird. In my area, it's just some dude who drives around in a van. And I guess, like, it's like an unmarked van, right? Because, like, Kudo Neko Yamato and, like, Sagawa, they have, like, actually delivery trucks.
Yeah.
But this is just like some dude in a van. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, all right.
It's like we had the same thing in the UK. It's there was like a fragrance / kind of shower gel, like women's kind of cosmetic company called Avon, right? And they they used to drive around and just go, did you order off Avon? Yeah, well, I've got your stuff. And it's, I kind of got similar vibes from that, to be honest. But for him, I don't think he received it or like he bought it with him or whatever, but he came today. So here we are. And we're doing it remotely. So I hope I'm clear on this end and stuff.
It should be okay. I don't think it'll be an issue.
I hope so, mate. I hope so. So we'll get on to the movie. And this is one that after last week with Lost in Translation, something I'd seen and that you didn't like. Because,
you know, slightly.
Yeah. Looking back, I can understand. But at the same time, you turned around and you said,
yeah,
I kind of want to do something that's unbiased from both of us. Something that we both haven't seen.
Have never seen this.
Yeah.
Movie.
And great call, because you chose a fucking really interesting movie this week, actually. It's on Netflix.
Fucking Anxiety the movie.
Don't even, man. I said that to my mate earlier. I was just like, have you seen the title of this movie that we're introducing in a minute? Have you seen this movie? And he's like, no. And I'm like, bro, like, I've got 20 minutes left on it. All I've got to say is, are you prone to panic attacks?
Pretty much, yeah.
And he was like, why? And I'm like, have you ever met a guy in your life that fucks up in everything he does as bad as this guy?
Not to this extent. Like, this is like, I mean, we'll talk about
bad.
It.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it later, but there's like a point in the movie where I just went, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Like,
I know exactly what you mean.
Like, why? Why would you do that?
Mate, he's a knob. That's all I'm going to say.
He's an absolute knob, yeah.
All right, Dave.
He is a knob.
I will give you the pleasure of introducing the movie this week, because you chose it, brother. So
okay, go so for it. This week we watched the movie Uncut Gems. Let's roll the trailer as per usual.
Let's roll it.
How you doing, Holly?
Hey,
how's it How are you doing?
Good Pesach out.
All right, Larry, you're a Jew again. Welcome back.
I made a crazy risk to gamble. And it's about to pay off.
So I want the Celtics to cover. I want the Celtics halftime. I want Garnett points and rebounds.
What do you know?
I don't know. I just know.
Well, I'll tell you what I know. That's the dumbest fucking bet I ever heard of.
I disagree. I disagree, Gary.
I started this.
You're taking my money all over town, placing bets.
I'm having very serious second thoughts.
Are you serious right now?
I know I fucked up.
Howard, where's the money right now?
Howard, got my money?
Howard! Is it too late? I'm done. That means nothing. It meant nothing. Please. Give me another shot.
You like to win, right? This is no different than that.
Black Jewel power, nigga.
This is my fucking way.
You think I'm stupid, Howard? You and your whole fucking family. I heard you resurface your fucking swimming pool. You know how that makes me feel.
Never resurface
anything. You think your life is more important than my life?
I don't know who said that.
I told you about how things were gonna go. You like the way things are going now?
That's my family.
Get the kids out of the house.
You having a good time?
Yes. This is me. This is how I win.
KJ, it's game night. You should be stretching out.
What is he, a coach?
Nah, he's just a fucking crazy ass Jew.
God, okay, where to start with this movie? This, maybe I'll start by saying, like, just general opinion. Did you enjoy this movie?
Loved it.
Yeah, I think it was good as well.
It's odd.
Yes,
it's pretty surreal in places as well, mate, like, which we'll talk about, but yeah.
It's weird. I had no idea what this movie was going into it. Not, like, exactly. Like, I knew, like, general plot points.
Yeah.
But this movie went in a direction I didn't expect. Which I'm kind of glad it did.
It's hectic.
Yes.
It's a really hectic movie. And I watched this over the course of, let's take a fucking moment. Hang on. 3 train journeys this week. I didn't sit down and watch this at home this week because of work and whatever, right?
Yeah.
So the first time I watched, what was it, 90 minutes or so.
It's a long movie, too. It's like
two hours, 20 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
And, mate, like, I was standing up on the train. I was getting, like, squished by salaryman, and I was watching this movie, and I was just like, fucking hell, it's suffocating. This movie is so suffocating, but it's like you mentioned, it's an anxiety-inducing, just suffocating fucking, like, epic of a movie, right?
Yeah.
But that's what I love about it. And the last time I felt something like this was the movie Whiplash.
Mm.
Did you see Whiplash? The movie about the jazz drummer and Parker! He's in it. J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, as, like, his evil jazz teacher, but, like, that movie was like...
No, I haven't seen Whiplash. Now that you mention it, I haven't seen
Whiplash. If Whiplash is Anxiety the Movie 1, this is Anxiety the Movie, the sequel.
Too.
Yeah, but that was the last time I felt anything like that while watching a movie. This was the second time, man. It's...
Yep.
Did you enjoy it?
Like, yeah, I like this movie. Yeah. It's, like, not my favorite movie, but, it's very different than a lot of the movies I've watched recently, so I'm kind of glad that it got a lot of buzz about this movie, and I'm kind of glad that I didn't watch it when it originally came out, and I could just kind of sit down with it now and just kind of, like, be at my house by myself and take it in, because I think if I had watched this with someone else in the room...
or on a train.
On a train, yeah, it would have been a little bit too much.
Yeah, it... Well, you mentioned a lot of hype and buzz and everything, critical acclaim about this movie, right? It was... It was a contender for the Academy Awards, right?
Yeah.
I didn't check it, but did it get anything for it?
So it premiered at the Telluride Film Festival in 2019, and then it was chosen the same year by the National Board of Review as one of the top 10 films of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't win any awards. Like, it was nominated, but it didn't win anything as far as I know.
Mm. I'm on the Wikipedia dead quick because I just wanted to, like,
it won a lot of stuff, actually, now that I'm looking at it.
Right, mate. Do you know on Wikipedia, just before the references of the page at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
there's a See Also section. So,
yes,
it's
yes,
Uncut
yes,
Gems soundtrack, and then another one is List of Films That Most Frequently Use the Word Fuck.
They say fuck a lot in this
Let movie. Me check where this place is in this. Well, The Wolf of Wall Street is number 3, and Uncut Gems is number 4 of all time.
Okay. That.
So there are 569 fucks in. Oh no, that's Wolf of Wall Street. 506 in Uncut Gems. Mm-hmm. The running time is 135 minutes. Fucking hell, The Wolf of Wall Street is 180 minutes. And the fucks per minute. This is a Wikipedia article, everybody. It's 3.75 per minute.
That seems about right.
They've never met me, so I mean, I'm a I'm a running fucking fuck machine. Not in that way, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, but
that's fascinating.
I'm surprised because, like, this movie didn't have, like, a super huge budget. Like it, you know, it stars Adam Sandler. Like, he's a big enough actor. Like, he's done other movies, but I feel like Adam Sandler more recently is known for, like, shittier movies. So when I look at the budget and see this $19 million, I'm like, that's, like, maybe believable if he put in some of his money. But it made $50 million at the box office, which kind of is surprising to me because it was released on Netflix. I mean, it was released by A24 in theaters.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even then, like, it made $50 million. Like, it's... they're up a profit of $30 million. Like, that's pretty impressive for, like, what is ostensibly an indie movie with Adam Sandler in a serious role. So, like, when you go, like, oh, the guy from Pixels is in a serious movie? Like, what the fuck is this, right?
You're forgetting about Big Daddy. That was a decent comedy. Little Nicky was okay. Nicky. Happy Gilmore.
Happy Billy Gilmore.
But then he did stinkers such as, like, Click and...
Jack and Jill.
Yep, that's it. I was going to say, what's the Norbit fucking kind of comedy? But
Yeah.
Fuck. There we go. There's another fuck. But it's directed by the Safdie brothers, who... or indie filmmakers. They've not really...
I had never heard of them before this movie.
Yeah, I think they did something with Robert Pattinson, a film called Good Time, 2 years before.
Yes. I had seen that in my cursive research of this movie.
Yeah, but this was released by A24, which is a really well-known independent studio.
Yeah, I was surprised when I started watching the movie and that came up, and I was like, oh, okay, so, like, this is... you know, got some kind of push behind it.
Yeah, Moonlight, right? Ex Machina, Room.
Yep, also a good game. A good game, not a good game. Good movie.
good movie,
I should say.
And also, I mentioned Euphoria, because of Zendaya. They produced that as well. Yeah, and mate, I just, before we get into the plot, you mentioned Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
You know, last week when we were talking about Lost in Translation and We got into Bill Murray, and you were like, apart from the fact that you couldn't stand him, I tried to justify his pedigree as a serious kind of actor, right?
Right, yeah.
This, mate, I grew up watching Adam Sandler comedies, right? Poor me. But, like, he's exceptional in this.
He plays himself,
but like a dickhead version of himself, but...
Like, Adam Sandler has been in good, serious movies. Like, he, you know, Uncut Gems is this one. He was in, what was the other one? Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah.
Wedding Singer.
The Wedding Singer.
I mean, Wedding Singer is, like, you know, it's a comedy movie, but, like, it's serious to some extent, right? Like,
I've never seen Punch Drunk Love. However, I know that, like, comparing to this, it's very, very similar in terms of like his kind of style or whatever. Like, I think Mark Kermode, who's the critic for the BBC, like he said when he saw Punch Drunk Love, and when he watched this, he was like, oh, the similarities are clear. I don't know if it's the same kind of like scriptwriter or producer, I'm not sure, but there's like a relation to that movie. Mm-hmm. But in this, he just plays like a sleazy fucking bastard. Do you want to get into it?
Let's get into like characters then, because I think like we want to talk about the characters as...
There's a lot of... there's not many characters in this, but like they appear all at once, which confused the hell out of me. Like, I'm like,
yeah.
So that's that guy, and that's his whatever, and blah, blah, blah.
Who's this guy? What is all their relations to each other?
Yeah, yeah.
In regards to the thing. Yeah, I agree with you. It's a little bit...
intense.
Well, it just kind of like goes, right? Like, it doesn't explain anything to you. There's not much setup. It's really weird because this movie opens up on like a fucking diamond mine in Ethiopia opal mine. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, is this what this movie is?
That gives you a little bit of like future context to like shit going off. But I will get to that bit. But like, I assumed that there was going to be this huge kind of uproar over that opening, but if anything, it just adds to like the central theme of the basketball player or whatever, right? But it was confusing because I was like, is this some kind of cursed gem or like you know, like Aladdin or something,
right?
Fucking Indy Jones, you know, the faces melt off. But yeah, it opens in the diamond mine run by the Chinese, which was a common... I mean, the Chinese do business in, like, diamond mines, right? I read this.
Yeah, man.
Because I was like, is this a...
It's not.
Yeah. Is this a real thing? And according to some trivia, it was like, it's pretty true, actually. And I was like, oh, yes. Okay. Yep. Oh, I'll take that.
The Chinese are in Africa and doing bad shit in diamond mines. But
Enough of that. We don't want to get censored. But anyways, so Adam Sandler is Howard Ratner, and he's a jeweler. So after the Ethiopian diamond mine kind of, we jump into the credits before that. And the credits are this weird kind of, it's like a spacey kind of like biological fucking biodome. And then it zooms out. And what is it?
Are you talking about the music?
But it's his colon, right? It's his arsehole.
It's in his colon, yeah.
But you mentioned the music. What the fuck? It's...
The music is very, like...
weird. Trippy. Great. It's like... but out there, you know what I mean?
It's like Blade Runner-esque. It's like weirdly Vangelis. Sci-fi.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
Daniel
very
Lopatin, who is... I can never say the name. Oneotrix Point Never or something. He's like a synth artist. But that is the one thing about this movie that threw me off. Because, you know, like, if you look at like a Scorsese kind of crime movie or fucking anything that like is similar in visuals, similar in story, similar in aesthetic.
Right,
You've got like a mishmash of different artists, like the fucking, I don't know, the Animals and fucking Rolling Stones and... You know, Lemonheads, right? You know, but this is like really unique, and it reminds me of Grand Theft Auto 5, kind of.
I know exactly what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? Like the kind of synthy fucking kind of.
I think it reminds me visually of Grand Theft Auto as well, and I think that's because of the way that this movie shot.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So I was gonna say the Duffer Brothers. It's not the Duffer Brothers. What the fuck?
The Stranger Things.
Duffer
Brothers.
What are they called? The
Duffer Brothers. Yeah.
No. The one who made Uncut Gems.
Oh, the Safdie Brothers.
The Safdie Brothers. Yeah. I heard. So I looked this up because I wondered. There's a point in the movie where I meant, man, the letterboxing on this fucking movie is huge.
Yeah, huge.
Like, it's just giant, right?
Absolutely huge.
And it's because of the way that they, the type of the type of lenses that they're using. It's intentionally they use long lenses,
yeah,
so they can pull, they can be farther back from the actors, but in turn it makes everything feel really fucking claustrophobic.
Yeah,
so I understand like where you're talking about where you were watching it on the train and you just felt like it was suffocating, just because like the visuals are absolutely suffocating at sometimes.
Yeah, the cinematography was by Darius Conji, who what did he do? I think he worked with Woody Allen. That was it. And he shot on 35mm. And apparently the brothers, I'm just going to call them the brothers, just for the sake of confusion. The brothers like took a pay cut so that they could shoot it in 35.
Yeah.
And it has that kind of quality.
It looks that, there's a film grain on it that you can tell that is not put there after the fact.
Hmm. Yeah. And, the opening, like that, from the music in it, the opening itself, like the colon, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Which was weird. It's like based on like germological photomicrography, which was, Edouard Gubelin, which was a Swiss gemstone researcher. It was based by his kind of work, like the opening and closing sequences of that.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, because it after it like goes through his body or whatever, it's like a gemstone landscape, and then like the universe and all this kind of stuff. You can see like a million generations through this opal or whatever, he says, doesn't he, later on?
Yeah, something like that. You can see the universe through it.
Yeah, and it's
something like that.
Mate, like that with the music tripped me out. I was like, what the fuck am I watching? Yeah, you know what I mean?
That was my thought as well. I'm like, what is going on? Like what? Okay.
Yeah, and at times, the soundtrack as well, because it's tense, it's pretty fucking dark. I don't know. Like, it does remind me of Blade Runner, like the music. Like,
A little bit.
It's so jarring with, like, just these, how do I say, ordinary visuals of, like, a kind of crime drama. You've got the soundtrack, and it's like, wow, fucking hell, is it supposed to be futuristic? Is it supposed to be
dreamlike? Right, because it's kind of just, like, everyday New York to some extent, right? Like a little bit. And then you have this like weird techno score over top of it that's just kind of odd.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it works in that, like, I guess in a way, because these two similar tracks play at the start and the end of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Where both of their visuals are accompanied to that, the titular opal, the uncut gem, as it was, right?
Yeah.
So it makes sense where he's describing it like, oh, you can see the universe. It's kind of like ethereal and weird, and it's like implied that like people think it might have magical powers for whatever reason.
Mm, mm, mm.
So like I can kind of see like where the choice of music makes sense there, but it is a very weird score. Because it's like, it goes from that to like The Weeknd.
Yeah. Yeah. The Weeknd's in it.
Yeah. We'll talk about him.
Listen, we'll talk about him. I've done my research on him. And I like his music. I like him as a musician.
I like The Weeknd.
Yeah,
he's all right.
He's
yeah.
cool, man. Nice guy, apparently. But like, and this is a dick. But anyways, we go to Howard Ratner. He runs a jewelry store. That's Adam Sandler's character.
Yes.
In New York City's, I don't know, like...
Diamond District.
Diamond Town kind of thing?
Yeah, it's literally called, like, the Diamond District of...
Is that a place?
New York. Really? Yes, I believe that is, like, an actual real thing.
Oh, it's probably on, like, one street or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah, that. Yes, okay. Basically, yeah.
I've been to New York. I went to New York for a day, and, like, it's too many streets in New York. That's all I'm gonna say.
I mean, New York's big.
Yeah, yeah. Went there on the Greyhound. That was nice. So, he's in debt. He owes a fuck ton of money to a lot of people.
So, it's really interesting because, like, it comes up very early that he owes this guy, what's his name? Adro?
Arno.
Is it his brother-in-law?
Brother-in-law.
It's his brother-in-law. He owes his brother-in-law Arno money, right?
Yeah, and
And
he's a... what do you fucking call it? Loan shark? something like that?
Yes, basically, yeah. Something they don't really say what it is. It's kind of implied that that's what he is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he owes, I forget how much he owes, but a lot of money.
It's like $100,000, something like that. Like, it's like a decent amount of money.
Yeah, but like, I don't think he makes any money from, like, his usual business, you know what I mean? Because he's, but like, maybe he does, well, but he's a gambler, right?
Yeah, he does, but the problem with
Howard, right?
Howard is that he's, like, addicted to gambling, basically.
But here's the thing. I've never quite seen gambling addiction in a movie before. Mm. So, like,
not it portrayed in this way, you mean?
Yeah, like, because I'm a football fan, and, well, I should say soccer, right? And on a lot of, like, the betting advertisements now and all this kind of stuff, the warning against gambling, right? Because in the UK, there was a swathe of it, man. Like, there was a huge kind of, among football, like, punters and betting agents and stuff like that.
Specifically for sports betting.
Yeah, like, in the UK, we had, like, a kind of, I shouldn't say pandemic, of kind of gambling, like, addiction among, like, football fans and sports fans in general. And now it's kind of, I wouldn't say dwindled, but it's still a problem. Especially ex-players.
Tapered off a little bit.
Yeah, ex-players are kind of struggling and stuff because it's, there's nothing much to do after they retire, you know what I mean? And
right.
Some people fall into that trap. However, watching this movie, this is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I sympathized with him. But it's hard to because of who he is.
I think that is lends some credence to Adam Sandler's kind of like acting chops, where I feel like he should just be like the most unlikable fucking idiot because he is just this absolute fucking scumbag. He's just a piece of shit. Right. But somehow at the end, you kind of like, you still feel bad for him in a way. Like, after he gets, like, beat up and fucking punched in the face and shit, you're like, oh, man, like, that sucks. Like, he's just trying to do the right thing. And it's like, no, like, he's dug his own grave and then kept digging.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't even know where to start. Like, his life's a complete mess. Okay. Like, he's got his wife and...
He's basically separated from his wife. He has a horrible gambling addiction. He's running a jewelry dealership that, like, maybe is or isn't making money. And then he's doing other shady shit. Like, there's his, what's his name? Not Dwayne. What's his name?
His friend?
Yeah, his friend.
Demani. Yeah.
Demani.
The intermediary dude, right? Basically, the guy in the middle.
He basically hires Demani to bring in, like, famous black, like, musicians or, like, athletes into his shop to, like, basically fuck them over and try and get them to buy shit, and he gets a cut of whatever Adam Sandler sells. So, like, Adam Sandler's character, like, Howard is just a piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah. And, oh, yeah, Kevin Garnett's in it as well.
The actual basketball player, Garnett, is in it.
But, yeah, like, he's got, Howard's got, like, a girlfriend as well. Is she?
Yes.
She works there, right? Of course, yeah.
Yes.
I found this out towards the end because, like I mentioned, it was repeated viewings over, like, a week. So I had to remind myself, who's that again? Oh, is it her?
Yeah,
but, like, I just thought it was somebody who was seen on the sly or whatever that had clients or whatever. And then I didn't realize she worked with him in the fucking shop. I completely missed that at the time. But so, yeah, he's going to divorce his wife, right? That was part of the narrative. Like, after, what's it called? Passover?
Passover, yeah. After Passover.
Passage, right? Or something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's fucking everywhere. His kids are, like, all kind of just kids. They're all weird in their own way. One of them's, like, weirdly like him.
Yeah, and then his daughter just kind of seems to be, like, I know you're a piece of shit, so I want nothing to do with you, kind of.
Exactly, yeah. His wife, by the way, I think she was Elsa in Frozen.
Yes, she's Elsa in Frozen.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm not a Frozen fan, to be honest. Idina Menzel, right?
Yes.
I think she was in Glee as well. I'm not sure.
I couldn't tell you. Yeah. I don't know her acting history, but I know that she was in Frozen as Elsa.
There's a lot of people in this movie that are person as himself. So like
Weekend as himself. Yeah, Kevin Garnett as himself.
And I think there was like Cash Out, one of the rappers or something was in it.
Yes, yeah.
But yeah.
As himself,
yes. So do you want to get into like the first kind of plot point of
Sure.
Is it Kevin Garnett? Should we start from that when he comes into the shop?
Sure. So Kevin Garnett, the actual basketball player, comes into the shop. And he wants to buy some kind of jewelry, right?
Yeah.
And Howard has just got this, like, rare, some kind of, like, black opal from a mine in Ethiopia hidden in a fish to, like, send it to him, yeah, to, like, get it across country lines. Like, I don't know what the legality is there, but, like, I assume it's something fishy because he sent it in a fish. So he shows Kevin Garnett this big ass rock, and like there's a point where like Kevin Garnett like picks it up and he like looks through it, and he like sees like pictures of himself and like pictures of like the past and like
ancestors like, and history shit. And
yeah. It's very weird, but he's like, I need this rock. I want to like take it from you. And he's like, oh no, I can't sell it. It's for an auction.
Right. We'll stop and here. Then, what is the fucking point in him showing it? Because it ruins like everything.
Again, Howard is a fucking idiot.
Like if he kept it secret, yeah, we wouldn't have a movie, but.
Right, of course.
Anyways, carry on.
So, he's basically like, okay, you can have this magic, you know, magic mumbo-jumbo rock, the magic MacGuffin rock, but you gotta give me some collateral, right?
Oh, so he gives like, him the...
So he gives him the championship ring, the Celtics championship
Boston
ring.
Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Which
I don't know
immediately,
basketball, so...
immediately, he fucking pawns this ring.
Yeah.
Immediately. Like, it's like not even 10
bitch.
Seconds.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, it's like 10 seconds.
Like, this is the kind of scumbag you're dealing with, right? Like, it's not even his property, and he immediately goes and pawns it, like, that same day.
An NBA championship ring that is like, all right, I'm reluctant to give this to you. I've got to say, though, Kevin Garnett and, what's his name? Again, the sideman, Damani. They're pieces of shit in this movie as well, because it's like, why are you keeping the stone? Like, what is your justification
to,
like...
It's very weird.
Like, because I was just like, they're fucking him over. They are really fucking him over, because, like, Damani's, like, really shady, going, oh, I've got the stone, and then he doesn't have it, and then it's like, oh, there's the weekend, and all this shit, right? But basically, like... He's an idiot for giving it away in the first place.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot. He's an idiot for telling him about the stone.
Mm.
And then fucking Garnett, like, yeah, he's got the ring, but, like, he doesn't give a fuck about the ring. You know,
No, he's got the magic voodoo rock
now. Yeah, exactly. And it... That part of the movie I found weird. I was like...
Well, it's just...
Like...
I think at that point, I had written down, like... This entire movie is absolutely just 30 fucking bad decisions, one after another.
Oh, mate.
Like, this movie is Jenga.
It is.
It's just, you take something from the bottom and you put it on the top, and you take it from the bottom and you put it on the top, and eventually, that fucking tower is gonna fall down because you've stacked so much bullshit on top of bullshit on top of bullshit.
Yeah. Legit, it's... Like, do you know when you think that he can, like, step away from the brink and just...
Yeah.
Take a step back and just go, all right, I'm done now. He's not done.
Yeah.
He's not done.
Yeah. And, like, there's a point in the movie that he needs to pay back his brother-in-law this whatever amount of money. I think it's, like, $100,000. And he's, like, at his daughter's play recital?
Or
school play. And his loan shark brother-in-law has like these fucking goons that hound him all the time.
Phil and I don't know the other one, the
Phil and Bald Man,
Pan-Ed, kind of, yeah,
yeah.
mate, I've got to say, I fucking hate the both of them, but carry on.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So they start showing up in like in places like, oh, he goes to his kid's recital and they're just there in the fucking in the crowd and they're watching him. They're like, he's like, oh, you know,
how did you get in?
Like, how'd you get in?
Pedophiles.
Like, what do you mean? Right. And he's like, oh, can I, you know, Howard's like, oh, can I talk to you outside? And then like it ratchets up the tension from there. Right.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, now he's like with his family and like now they.
He's looking they over his shoulder, knew. Right? Like, constantly. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
And they beat the fuck out of him. They steal his clothes and they put him in his own fucking
this
trunk.
This pisses me off, though, man, because, like, fuck the mafia. Because, look, I know the bet was made with his money, but right. It would have made them all rich. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so, like,
100%.
But out of principle, he just went, no, you can fuck off, I cancelled it. And it's like, what the fuck? Like...
But it's like we would have won the bet. They did win the bet. So Adam Sandler, this Howard, this fucking idiot, like pawns off Kevin Garnett's ring to get money to make a bet on a game that Kevin Garnett is playing in, and then he wins that bet. But his brother-in-law canceled the bet because he knew the bookie that he made the bet with. So he's like, "No, that's my fucking money. Like he brought it here, and he's supposed to give it to me." Yeah. And Adam Sandler's like, you fucked us out of so much money. Like, what the fuck? And he's like, I don't care. He's like, you've been fucking around so much, betting on shit. And then later on, he decides, okay, here's what we're going to do. I have this opal. I know Kevin Garnett wants it. He goes, it's going to auction. So I'll send it to auction and get whatever I pay for it. And then I'll just pay off all these other people, get the ring back, and it's all good.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, gets his fucking uncle, his, like, rich Jewish uncle, I guess his uncle's rich. Maybe he's not. I don't know. But he's like, oh, yeah, just run up the bets a little bit, or run up the bids a little bit, so I'll get, like, more money out of it. And then his uncle ends up winning the opal, and he's like, now I'm on the hook for fucking 190 grand, and I'm absolutely fucked now. Like, what am I going to do?
Hmm.
And it just keeps escalating from there. Because, like, he owed his...
There's the ring, because obviously he pawned that.
He owed the ring.
Yeah, there's the original 100,000 to Arno, right?
And yeah.
And then
he owes other fucking people.
Yeah, yeah. There's some, like, two weird dudes that are like, give me my money. And then there's, like, a Michael Jackson cross.
Yep.
As well.
Which also...
It's 15 grand.
Which he also pawned.
And then the guy's like wanting that. This is one of the highlights of the movie for me, like mm-hmm. that adds to the kind of claustrophobia and tension. Say the security camera footage of the shop and the
yes.
doorbell and the phone ringing overlaps.
Yes, 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 yes,
just,
yeah, yeah.
It doesn't let you breathe. And it's always one of those people where it's like, even if it's Arno's men that are coming to kill him. If it's the fucking dude who wants, like, the cross, if it's whoever.
Right.
It's just unstoppable at certain points. And then when you come back to breathe, it's just, like, depressing. It's really depressing.
Right.
Like, because
yeah,
you're in his life, right? And it's... Mate,
it's he's fighting with his girlfriend. He's, like, getting divorced from his wife. His kids don't fucking like him.
Yeah.
He's shit for betting.
I needed to put SpongeBob on after, you know what I mean?
Well, and the thing is like, right, like, okay, he makes that first bet, and he wins, but it gets withdrawn, and he's like, fuck, like, I'm so fucked. He's like, but I can get out of it. He's like, I can figure a way to get out of it. Don't worry, I'll figure out how to get out of it, right? And then it just gets worse.
Yeah.
But it doesn't get worse because, like, oh, something bad happened. It gets worse because he makes fucking stupid decisions over and over and over again.
Yeah
because he's addicted to gambling.
Yeah, but like, not only that, like, gambling decisions aside, he makes stupid decisions in his life, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like with Julia, his girlfriend, right? They go to the weekend show. And the weekend's
the weekend, the person, not Saturday, Sunday show.
Yeah, like he's such a dick in it, though. He's like, I'm not gonna perform till I need a black light on me.
I need a black light on me.
And it's just like, they do coke in the bathroom and he gets pissed off and like almost decks the Weeknd, which
yeah.
But I was listening to it and I was like, it's dope that he's in this movie, man. Like, he's, and that's his,
yeah, it's great,
debut, I think. I think, well, I don't think he's done any other movies. But yeah, it's like such a really good point, but like, not point, a really good bit in the movie. But how he treats Julia and all that kind of stuff. And he's such a piece of shit in that scene. And like,
Howard. Well, Howard has already like shown that he doesn't like the Weeknd even before that, because there's a scene where he's like in bed with like Julia, and he asks like Julia, he's like, "Oh, who's this guy?" And she's like, "It's the Weeknd." He's like, "What the fuck is the Weeknd?" And she's like, "Oh, he's gonna be big, even though he's from Canada." And he just goes, "This guy looks fucking yeah, stupid."
Yeah, yeah, even though he's from Canada.
Like, what the fuck does that mean?
I was gonna talk to you.
I didn't know the Weeknd was Canadian until this movie.
You didn't know that?
No.
Hang on, where's he from? Hang on, let me just,
I don't know where he's from. Up. He's probably from Toronto.
He's from Toronto.
I knew it. I knew it.
I hope he's 31. Nice. All right. Yeah.
Same age as me.
Ah. Oh my god. Hang on, when's your birthday again? Or do you want to dox yourself? July. He's February 16, 1990, brother. He's yep. in your school year. No way. That's awesome. That's pretty cool. Yep. Do like the guy. But yeah, so there's a lot of kind of other things in this movie where like they have like a Passover celebration, right? Mm. And we see Arno and him at the Passover because they're family, right?
Right.
And not only does he ask his wife for, like, an extra chance, and she just, like, laughs in his fucking face because she hates his guts. But, yep. like, another stupid thing what this character does is he tells fucking everyone his business. Like, he tells the one guy in front of him that wants to fucking kill him, like, his family member. Oh, by the way, there's definitely going to be no way that you can hijack the auction that I'm going to have next week.
Yeah.
Keep it a secret and just run with the money. You know what I mean? Like, do you have a fucking brain, man? Like,
I think
I get what he was trying to do. You know what I mean? Just like, by the way, I can definitely pay you off, so you're not going to come after me right. anymore. However, take the money and run. Steve Miliband. You know what I mean? Just take the fucking money and run, mate. Like,
well, the thing is, I feel like this is a character study of Howard in that not only is he addicted to gambling, he's always vying for attention.
Yeah.
Like he wants the not attention, but like the validation of like, oh, I'm the big man. I got money, right? Cuz he's always chasing money in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wants the validation of his uncle. He wants his wife to like respect him again even though he's like fucked up his life.
Because this is the thing, he's got a good heart, but everything else overshadows, like
right.
his attitude, his gambling addiction and everything. But like deep down, he's like really sorry. You know, in the scenes that he's sorry, he's like, I'm right. really fucking sorry. Like, you can see it in his eyes and like,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Like, he's helpless and he's just like, I'll do it. I'll give you the money. And then like, the moment an opportunity is presented in front of him, he's like, ah, we're going to be fucking filthy rich. You know, and then he's just like,
yeah,
the money's in the bag. The whole time through this movie, by the way, I was just like mimicking his voice.
Mm.
Because like, you've seen Little Nicky, right?
Yep.
Where he's like, I'm Nicky. You know, the whole time. Get the flask. You
know? Yep.
Like the whole time I was just going, like every time he'd go, hey, Arno, what the fuck you doing? Like that, I just...
yeah.
My missus was just like, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Why don't you shut the fuck up? I'm gambling here.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's... In this movie, everyone talks over them, like, over each other.
Yeah,
and it's chaotic. And, like, I think that's done, like, 100% on purpose.
I was talking over the movie, even on the train.
Yeah.
It's over the top, but like if you put yourself in his headspace, it's really interesting because, but here's the thing, you gotta be made of fucking steel to cope with that without having a fucking mental breakdown. I mean, he does later on when he finally gets like smacked in the fucking face, right? Like he breaks down and he's like, oh, I'm fucking done, you know, I hate my life and stuff. But it's like the whole way through the film, I'm like, how are you living? How is this like possible to live with not only one kind of worry where like one person wants something from you, you've got like at least fucking five people that want shit from you. And you're just like, okay, I'm just going to fucking ignore it. You know what I mean? And it's...
And hope it goes away.
Mate, like, he's either on copious amounts of fucking... I was going to say CBD, but like, this isn't Japan. Weed. Or fucking just any kind of like drugs to kind of cope.
Just,
you know what I mean?
He just makes promises he can't keep. Like, that's like the biggest thing, right?
Yeah, that's
he's
an,
always making promises he can't keep in regards to like money and shit, right?
In the extreme, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've skipped quite a lot of the plot, but like it's mostly all these bad decisions, like just generally. Mm-hmm. But we've covered most of the primary and secondary characters, but we'll get on to like the main subject of it, which is the stone itself, right?
Yeah.
And he's going to auction it. Which piques the interest of the basketball player, I forget his name, Garnett, right?
Kevin Garnett.
Garnett San, yeah. And because he's fucked over the lady who will appraise it, they got like an independent appraiser, just fucked him basically. Like, supposed to be $1 million, but like, what was it, 160?
Yeah, like 160, 170.
And he refuses and is like, let me fucking talk to her. I'm sorry, I'm doing his voice just.
Yeah,
get in the flask, he tells her. but he believes it's like it's literally like the rarest thing ever, right? And but you know, he still owes the guy the ring, but he wants the stone, and like they're gonna auction it off, and everyone's there to witness the auction, like all the goons, all this shit,
right?
And oh, mate, Judd Hirsch is in this.
Yes.
I didn't recognize him, man, because he's old. I think the last movie I saw him in was Independence Day, and, like, he looks completely different now. But, like, he's the guy that he asked to kind of up the bet. But, mate, this part of the movie, I went, fuck, out loud. Like, actual fuck. Like, because Garnett's, like, up in it going, I need the stone, I need the stone. And then, like, Adam Sandler's basically, not Adam Sandler, but, like, Howard's basically going to Judd Hirsch's character, Gooey, right? Up the bet, up the bet. Like, 10,000, 100,000, blah, blah, blah. And then Garnett pulls out, and then Gooey has to, like, that's another 190,000 or what, fucking whatever, right?
Yeah.
And he fucks him over, and I was just like, fuck! Like, out loud, I just went, ah, you knob! Like, why would you do this to him? You know?
Yep,
this poor dude.
now he's pulled in another person into his bullshit.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Another person, man. And fuck. And then he gives him the gem.
Yeah,
he's like, "Give me the fucking gem." Like
after
he's fucked him over, he's like, "Well, I need the gem because I need to sell it."
Yeah,
and then he's like,
"Just take the fucking gem.
Take the fucking gem." Oh, and then he gets punched. Then he gets punched in the face. Right. And then we...
Immediately after.
Yeah, and then we get into, like, the final kind of course. The final part of the movie where...
Yeah. So I'm going to say from here on... Spoilers. Spoilers for what happens. If you've been listening for 47 minutes about...
Big spoilers.
For a movie. Because...
It's unexpected.
It's a movie that came out in 2019. So I feel like you should give it, like, a year or two.
All I have to say about this final part was, I watched it today. This was the bit I saved. Like, not like it was after when the final part started. Like when, Garnett was willing to like kind of purchase it. I stopped there and then I watched it from today. Like, all I've got to say is, it's breakneck speed. The ending, completely breakneck, and.
It is the most stressful fucking basketball game I've never watched.
I'm not into basketball, but this movie's kind of got me into it, weirdly. I'm not going to place any bets on it, but all I'm going to say is this ending's unexpected. Like, I didn't expect what the fuck was going to happen. Like, the whole time I was like, shit, are they going to run away to a desert island together after they get the winnings? Are they even going to win it?
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck? Like, what are they going to do? Because the goons are trapped in, like, that metal kind of door, which is...
Yeah, like the security door. You know,
it's like
a
Chekhov's gun,
the
isn't
place,
it? Where
yeah.
it's like the whole movie, it kind of fucks up constantly, so he traps them in it, right? And he's like, watch the fucking game! You know, and like, they do.
So,
you know.
At this point, right, like, he's sold the opal to Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. This is the most
And he has
part.
The money to play off his...
His dad,
brother-in-law.
Right. Yeah, yeah, and everything else.
He paid
yeah.
all of them off. He's got the ring back. He gave it back to Kevin. He got the opal. He sold it to Kevin. It's everything is Gucci, right? All he has to do now
is just chill
pay
the
off
fuck out, yeah, and just
his brother-in-law. But he doesn't fucking.
I'll tell you what. Like, I'm gonna put a bet on you tonight. I was like, fuck you. Fuck you! You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I was like,
was that the bit?
What are you doing?
Was that the bit where you got pissed off as well?
Yeah, I was just like, yeah. Oh, come on, man. Like,
fuck off,
why?
Bro.
Why would you do that?
Walk away. And even Garnet's just like, bruh, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, he's like, are you okay, man? Like, really? You know?
My notes from this section is, Howard is really fucking dumb. Jesus fucking Christ, this man is stupid. What the absolute fuck? What an idiot. Just pay people back, like, what the absolute fuck?
But it's like how he's stuffing it into that, like, Gucci bag, right? And it's just like,
right.
I'm going to make sure that, you know, I believe in you. I believe in the stone, basically, and whatever. And, like, Garnet's just looking at him like, are you fucking insane? And he's like, nah, fuck it! You know? And I just... That was the moment that I realized, yeah, there's no saving this character, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's
done. Completely irredeemable. Like, at that point, I thought, because he had that whole sympathy episode, like, a bit before, where, like, he confides in Julia, they get back together, and he's just like, I'm done, you know, I'm fucking done, blah, blah, blah. His face is all fucked up and bloodied. Yep. And at that moment, I thought, you've got a chance to walk away. And the moment that he didn't, I knew what was going to happen, to an extent. I didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but I was like, this movie is not going to end well for him, no matter what, from this point.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because, like,
there's no way he can get out of it. You know what I mean?
He places the bet on the game, right? And you don't know at this point, is he going to win or is he going to lose? Because, like, if he loses, you know that he's gonna get fucking, like, he's done. He's done. Like, that's it. Like, there's no more chances at that point.
Yeah, the
it's fucking over, right?
Three-way parlay, they call it, right? Or something. Yeah. Like, just a three-way bet.
So he's now trapped his brother-in-law and his two fucking goons in this thing and made them watch a whole fucking, like, three-hour NBA game or however long
like
NBA game is.
They're, like, sweating, need a shit.
Sweating,
you know?
Yeah. And he gets his girlfriend to sneak out and place this bet, and she places this bet, and then... You just have to sit there and watch this game play out. And it's cutting back from him to the guys in the box, to his girlfriend who's getting chased, to fucking back to him, back to the guys in the box. And it's just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth the entire time.
She's getting stalked in the casino by, like, his goons.
His other goons, right?
Yeah.
And it's interesting, like, you know, there's, like, a point at... In this section of the movie, there's, like, a certain scene where you know immediately that he's an irredeemable character just by the way that they shot the scene.
How?
Like, he's trapped the guys in the box, whatever, the safety box thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The safety door. And there's a scene where the guy, I forget his name, not Arno, but his, like, really angry lackey guy with the gun.
Phil. Yeah.
And he's just like, he looks at Howard and it's just like slow zooms onto him, like yelling at the TV. And you can just tell, like, in that moment, he knows, he's like, even if he wins, we are not getting this fucking money back.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah. They just don't trust him.
No.
Yeah. And, like, at the same time, they're kind of looking at him like, you fucked us over so many times.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way we're going to let you live. And that's what happens. And
I mean, and the thing is, like, I love this ending because they give you the hope, right?
Yeah, like, it like the crescendo. The bet, yeah,
and he wins, and then his brother in law's like,
"Wow,
did
you did it!
He fucking
you did
won!
It, yeah.
He fucking won!" And like, "I'm gonna get my money back."
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And at that moment, you think like, "Oh, okay, like the problem solved. They have the money. He'll just pay them off, and then everyone's happy, and you know they go do whatever they want." And it just does not end that way.
Yeah,
at all.
I was pretty surprised how it went down. Like, he just fucking shoots him in the face. And it's just, and yep. he's dead. And it's like,
yep.
Oh, fuck. And then,
yeah,
and
I was
then
like,
they
I was
turn
like,
around
wow,
and just,
fuck?
And then they shoot his fucking brother-in-law.
Yeah.
And I was like, you bastards. You absolute bastards. But I don't blame how you might feel if you were in that situation being fucked over all the time. And you're
right.
A, you're a mobster. You know, you're going to do
at that.
You know
point,
what I mean?
At that point, like, it had gone beyond money, right?
Yeah.
Like, it got to the point where it's like, you fucked me over.
You've locked me in a fucking thing.
So fucking much that I don't care about the money anymore. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, like, it. Imagine being stuck inside a fucking, like, box of fart for, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, then, for like 3 hours while you watch a fucking basketball game. Yeah.
But he just literally comes out, baps him in the face, and then just
yep.
kills his...
And then that's it.
And that's it. But, like, his girlfriend, Julia, would... She got the money. Oh, the guy! The guy who owns the casino. Does he own
the
casino? The
old guy.
Yeah, yeah.
No, nah, he's just, like, an old rich dude.
Yeah, yeah. And, like... he's just, like... hands her the money, and he's like, "Hey, babe, can you have a drink?" She's like, "Nah, fuck off."
Basically, yeah.
But, like... she has the money. She has like $1 million, basically. And
yep, basically.
And that's it. And then it zooms into his face. Not into his ass, but like into his
yeah,
skull.
Yeah, into the bullet hole on his face.
And then it goes through like a diamond mine and then into space. And then it's that yep. weird synth soundtrack again. And it's just like, the fuck? Like,
yep.
Boards of Canada style kind of like, just like
mm-hmm.
weird. It's strange, man. It's. Very, very
it
fucking
is very
strange.
Weird.
So I'm thinking, like, what's the symbolism of this? You know what I mean? Like, inside his skull, all he thinks about is, like, this object, this item or something. And, you know, you're traveling through his mindset or something, you know. I'm not sure. But,
right.
like, the first part of the sequence, like, at the start of the movie is, you see the gemstones, but it's in his ass. Like, so I don't know. Mm. I don't know. You know what I mean? But, yeah, what do you want to go on to, mate? Do you want to go on to some trivia?
Sure, yeah, let's talk about some trivia for this. I want to, maybe I do want to comment on the ending a little bit. Like,
yeah, go for it, yeah, yeah.
I think that it kind of goes back to his comment at the beginning of the movie, right? Where he said, like, oh, if you look into this thing, and it's like you can see the universe, right? Where... at the end of the movie, he gets shot in the face and he's dead, and then it goes, like, inside his head.
Mm.
And I think, to me, what this ending means is, like, the opal itself is, like, what you... It brings out the worst attributes in anyone that it touches, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, like, Adam Sandler's character, Howard... whenever he's around that fucking thing, like, all he can think about is money and, like, betting, right? And he's like, oh, I gotta get rid of this thing. I can sell it for lots of money. I did all this work for money. I'm gonna bet all the money that I get from the thing on fucking sports betting and all this shit. And then Kevin, he gets this thing and he thinks it makes him better at basketball.
Yeah.
But, like, does it? Like, you don't really know. You just assume that it...
Well,
as like a logical person,
yeah.
you go, it doesn't, right? Like,
well,
that's
he misses quite a lot of the fucking easy chances
right.
for a pro in the final game, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it's,
but he doesn't care. He thinks it's like it enhances that like the bad impulses that you have, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And again, when it like in it goes into his head, like you see the universe. And in his universe, all he could think about was money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's also a thing that I've read here, because the directors were Jewish as well.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to encompass Jewish stereotypes proudly and treat them as a superpower. And the Jewish concept of learning through suffering would be important for the character of Howard through the film. And this is the thing. There's nothing good about his life. Mm. And here's another really incredible thing that I found in this movie. I hate every single character in it. None of them are nice people.
They're all fucking scumbags.
There's not, apart from Gooey, the old guy, but like he's in on what he wants to do, so that makes him shitty.
Yeah.
There's not a single nice person in this movie. Like his kids are dickheads. Nope. Like he's a dickhead. Garnett's a dickhead. Like all of his cronies and like fucking, you know, Arno and his cronies are all dickheads. You know, the people at the auctioneer in house are dickheads. There's like not a single nice person in this movie, man. And my point is, like, his life is just shit. And like, is he learning through it? Yeah, I guess. But in the end, he doesn't. You know what I mean? Like,
nope.
It's just a vicious cycle that he's just completely stuck in. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no irredeemable qualities about fucking anybody in it. They're all scumbags in this movie, man. That's my 100%, take.
Yeah.
That's my take, man. But yeah, it made, yeah, you said it made 50 million from a 90 million. Yeah. God, August 2019. I was in America then, actually. It was unbelievable. Oh, no, wait. December it was released. Some trivia for you, dead quick.
Sure.
So Adam Sandler wore false teeth, as you can tell.
I could kind of tell. Something was up with his teeth. I could kind of tell, but I wasn't sure.
And a fake dark mole on his cheek. I knew that was fake. It didn't look real, you know. It was Julia Fox's idea for her character to have Howard's name tattooed on her ass. And also, the character of Julia, or not the character, the actress that plays Julia, she's dating Kanye.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Apparently, yeah.
I mean, now.
And also, do you know the jeweler, Yusi, at the start? Yusi.
Yes, yeah. The guy that worked for him.
So apparently he's a real jeweler. And he got into a social media kind of like beef with, you know that scumbag that tattooed his face with a giant 69?
Takeshi 69?
Yeah, and like the rainbow hair. Yeah. Yeah, because
he went to jail for like pedophilia or some shit.
Mate, don't even get me started on this prick, right? Because like years ago, my mate saw him in Nottingham and I was like, why are you paying money to see a fucking pedophile? And it's like, I don't know, he's cool. Mate, on my hit list, he's on there. Honestly, he's just a piece of shit. And he's a snitch, man. He snitched on fucking everyone. But, like, apparently he didn't pay back, like, a $25,000 bracelet that he lent him. And it was covered extensively all over the hip-hop news media, apparently. Just don't fucking talk to Tekashi 6ix9ine. They should make a movie about him as well called fucking Uncut Teeth. And just dash penis. And, like, base it on him and have him shot in the end. But basically, before this podcast, you know when I started giggling randomly and I typed in Uncut Gems on Google, but I accidentally typed in Uncut Cut, and the first result was circumcised versus uncircumcised. Pros and cons to consider. And literally the Google images are literally like a guy with a banana with like a tank top. And like an 80s picture called, it just says Cut Uncut, True Gay Experiences of Foreskin and Circumcision, Volume 1. This was a botched Google search, I'm very sorry. Uncut Gems, everyone, not Uncut Cut, which I accidentally put in. Do you have any trivia on your end, or shall I carry on?
No, you covered up mostly what I had as well, yeah.
Yeah, and Tilda Swinton was supposed to be in it, who played the Ice Queen in Narnia.
Tilda Swinton did a voice on the phone.
Yes.
The auctioneer that he's talking to.
I knew Tilda I recognized Swinton. That, yeah. She was in there. We've Got to Talk About Kevin as well, which is a weird movie. And The Weeknd based his performance on the kind of arrogant guy he was at that stage of his life, apparently. But apparently The Weeknd's a really cool dude. Nice with his fans and just a nice guy in general. So, yeah. Uncut Gems.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, shall we get on to ratings? What do you want to do?
Sure.
Yeah. Do you want to go first on this one? What do you reckon?
This is hard for me. I would say, okay, I'd give this movie like a 7.
Really? A 7?
7, 7.5.
Yeah, okay.
Let's go 7.5.
All right. What's your reasons? What's your breakdown?
I mean, I think that this movie, while good, is a little bit long.
Yeah.
I think, like, there's some stuff that could be cut in places that is, like, not necessary. Like, there's, like, this whole fucking scene about them going to, like, talk to Kevin in fucking, like, Boston or some shit. So they drive all the way down to Boston. Like, ultimately, that fucking scene didn't need to be there. Like, you could have cut out that, like, that 5 minutes from the movie. There's some scenes like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But overall, I think it's pretty good. The music's a little bit weird, but I can just, I'm kind of whatever on it, because I don't feel like the middle parts of the movie has a lot of music, other than the Weeknd stuff, but, I mean, it's literally the Weeknd performing it as part of the story, so that makes a little bit more sense.
I'm blinded by the light. Oh, he doesn't sing that in it, because this was, the year before he released that album. But, yeah, so you're going for a 7...
7.5. We'll say 7.5. I like this movie, but it's not my favorite.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 7.5 as well. Mm. I'd say 7.5 to 8. I think it was a really well shot movie. I think it's really Scorsese, which, would you believe, he produced it. He was a producer on
the
movie.
There you go. That makes sense.
And, like, I realized that after sitting here with you tonight, I was just like, it's a very Departed-esque kind of, not even Departed, ending. Just, well, yeah, exactly, and, I mean, I hate Matt Damon in that movie, to be honest. I also hate Mark Wahlberg, but, like, it's such a good crime kind of thriller, how it's shot. The myriad of, like, just different characters and just, like, from all walks of life in the city, and so many people are represented, you know, albeit not all positively, but, like, it's such a blend of kind of cultures. And
I think that one of the most interesting things about this movie is that, like, to some extent, it's, like, 100% wholly believable that if you told me this was based off a real story, I'd believe you.
Yeah.
And, like, apparently, everything is very grounded, where I could be like, okay, yeah, sure.
In terms of Adam Sandler, I think it's a great performance from him.
Yeah.
Like, he's really credible. He's really believable. And it's tragic what happens, but, like, it was always going to end up that way. It was always going to end up that way. And I think his wife tells him at one point, "You're the most annoying person I've ever known." And I'm like, I feel you. I fucking feel you.
She says something like, "You're the most annoying person I've ever known. And if I had to do it again, I wouldn't." Something like that.
This is the thing with his wife's character, Dead Quick, is like, at the start, you think, why is she so pissed at him? Like, what the hell? She's just...
Right, yeah.
I don't know what's gone off. Yeah, I get that he's got a partner, but I know that they're, like, practically divorced and that. But I'm like, what's the reason? And then by that point in the movie where she just laughs in his face, I'm like, yeah, I fully understand, like, that she's gone insane through all of his fucking, like, infidelity, gambling, fucking everything, mate. And I'm just like, good on you. You know what I mean? Like, he deserves nothing like that, you know, and... But I'm going to give it an 8, man. Again, the score, as a musician myself, I really like film scores, and, like, I like movies that have, like, a score that makes the movie kind of atmospheric in a different way to what it should be. So I do praise this, because it's like, I mentioned the Grand Theft Auto kind of comparison, but I think it's really kind of one of a kind sound. It's a one of a kind kind of score.
Yeah,
weird, but it's like,
yeah, it was like, when I'm like, is this like fucking Blade Runner or Akira? Like, what the fuck is this?
Pride and Prejudice to like fucking.
Yeah.
What's the example I was going to use? Like, putting Boards of Canada or Aphex Twin to like Pride and Prejudice. It's just like.
Yeah, it's really weird, right? Yeah. I know exactly just what plaid you mean. Yeah.
Playing in the. Yeah, it's anything like that. I really enjoyed it. And to finalize my kind of rating, I'd say that this was a movie I'm really happy I watched, and because I knew that it got acclaim, and
yeah, I'm happy to have seen it now.
Yeah, a few of my friends spoke about it and they said it's a good movie like a while ago, you know, and it just fell under the radar for me, and it's always been on the watch list that I'll probably never get round to watching until we did this podcast. So I'm really thankful I watched it, and I'm really glad I watched it. I felt like I didn't waste any time watching it. It was gripping, engrossing, good performances. There was not a bad actor in it. It was just a good movie, man. It was a good movie, a solid movie. And yeah, 8 out of 10. I'll give it an 8.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Do you want to do the same thing next week? Do you want to go unbiased into something, or...
I mean, I'm okay with anything, to be perfectly honest. Do you have a movie in mind?
I do, actually.
Okay.
Shall I mention it here? Because
sure, yeah. If you wanna talk about what you wanna watch.
I mean, to be honest, at the end, I think we should kind of have a pick each, and then we decide going forward. But my pick for next week is District 9. If you've seen that movie.
I have seen District 9 a long time ago,
That's the thing. It is a movie I saw once.
Fucking prawns.
Fucking prawns.
Prawns. Fucking prawns. Fucking prawns.
Fucking prawns. Yeah.
That's all I remember about District 9 is fucking prawns.
Hey, you fucking prawn. I've got like some kind of weird history attached to that movie, but I saw it like at the cinema in 2009. I just started high school, and it's a movie that, like, is intrinsically woven into, like, that time period of being, like, a 16, 17-year-old kid. I just remember District 9, and I saw it on... I don't think I saw it on Netflix, but I saw it just on IMDb. That was it, IMDb. As I was going through the top 250 movies, and it was on there, and I was like, wait, is that the giant spaceship movie in South Africa? It is, isn't it? And it is. I was just like... I can't fucking remember that, but I remember it was really good, and I want to kind of watch it again as an adult, you know what I mean? So, if you're
When did I watch? I think I watched it, like, the start of university, so that would have been, like,
would have been 2009, mate, because you,
No, it would have been later than that. I think it was, like, probably 2010, 2011.
Yeah.
But something like that. Around that time.
Do you fancy it?
Yeah, sure. Let's watch it next week.
Funny movie as well. Well, Neil Blomkamp has done some weird shit since, and I remember it being a dark movie, but like there's bits where you just piss yourself laughing at it, and I want to see if it has the same kind of effect now.
Effect now, yeah.
Now removed that we're from... seasoned human beings, and like, you know... we can look at this and go, fucking hell, this is really bad or something. You know what I mean? Just like revisit it.
I mean, I remember like it being pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not like the best movie I've ever seen, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's watch District 9 next week. All right. So everyone, thanks for listening to the first inaugural Midnight Film Club remote sesh. You got any plans this week, Dave? Just to kind of finish?
This week? No, not really.
I think that's everybody at the minute though, right? Like,
nah, I might do some painting.
Hang on, painting?
Yeah.
Have you taken that up?
Miniatures, not
miniatures.
Stuff, but yeah,
that's awesome.
I have a whole bunch. They're in my closet. You've probably never seen them because that's where they live.
Good luck with it, man. Honestly, I mean, we need a hobby now because we're kind of back to. It feels like stage one, but it's not as bad. So we've probably got this for a few weeks until they realize that. Hang on, maybe it's okay. You know, we'll see. But yeah, I've got a show tomorrow, and I'm gonna play to no one. It'll be a laugh, I think. So.
Good luck.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Cheers.
It's just practice, right?
We'll just do a practice, argue halfway through. And there's just like one fan there like, this is amazing. This is great. This is so intimate. All right, I'm going to stop rabbiting on. It's easy to get carried away when we're not in the same room. So,
right, yes.
Yeah. We'll take it easy, mate. See you next week. Yeah, see you next week. District 9, everyone. All right, everybody. Thank you. Good night. Bye-bye.